Reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 13, Text 2. Jaya Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chanda, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. All glories to Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Prabhu Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Chandra, all glories to the devotees of Lord Sri Krishna, Sri Krishna Mahaprabhu. All the I prayed to, and I, when I went there also, there's Dameshwara, just Lord Shiva who protects the Dham. So when you come into Radha Kund, I also pray to Dhameshwar, because Lord Shiva is the predominating deity in the false ego. And false ego is the consciousness that's antithetical to Dham consciousness, the spiritual consciousness. It goes against that brain. False ego puts yourself in the center. What false ego is, it delimits consciousness to a particular body to give you the self-conceit that I am the controller and the enjoyer. And if you keep your false ego here, there will be a force to move it. Rucky? Anybody like to say Hare Krishna? I want to make sure I have an audience.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Kumar from Nimitz. So I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Maharaj. Yes, Maharaj.
Okay. Are you going in through your computers? Is that how you listen to the class? I just want to know people can hear my class before I go on.
Can you hear
my class?
Yeah, I've got...
Okay, thanks.
I'm listening to you on the phone and the computer, so those are fine.
What's that?
I said I'm listening to you both on my phone and on the computer, and both are okay right now.
Okay. My only doubt is that I once heard that on these conference calls, if someone has weak reception, then it affects the whole conference call. So that may be one problem. Someone may have weak, perception. You know, so somebody should check their cell phone. If they have really weak reception, it may affect everything. Anyway, I'll go on somehow. So pray to Dhameshwar, because the false ego, it separates you from God as the enjoyer. And you can't be in the Dham separated from God. So I went into the Kund, and it was so nice. I was able to sit on the top step with the water up to my neck and sit there just praying to Radharani for entrance into the Dham. And it was such a nice day that there was no cold, but at the same time, the sun wasn't hot enough to disturb you. So I entered the Dham. So here we are in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And very nice that the last part that we entered was after the devotees took Jagannath Prasad, they went to take darshan of the Jagannath. And there are certain rules and regulations which they transcended due to their spontaneous attraction. They were, when you do things out of attachment, you may not follow certain rules. And we described that last time. I think Mother Savitri gave that nice example that Raghunuga Bhakti is traversing a distance by an airplane. It doesn't follow the same rules as someone on the ground. Someone on the ground, there's stop signs, there's stop lights, etc. So it's out of pure attachment. So generally, the purpose of rules is to keep you fixed when you don't have natural attachment. So when you have natural attachment, you may not be focused on the rules. It doesn't mean that you'll necessarily break rules. It means that you won't be guiding your devotional service by those rules. If there's a rule, no illicit sex, and then you take the devotional service, it doesn't mean that you will break that rule. It means that you're not even thinking about it. You don't need a rule not to do that, because you're spontaneously flowing towards Krishna. So we saw the mood of those residents of Vrindavan. And now We had that Gudicha temple, the cleaning, and now this chapter is the ecstatic dancing of the Lord. And Krishnadas Kaviraj is offering his prayers. And this process of vandanam, or prayers, is so essential in devotional service. Because the process of devotional service is to go, is to experience love, and that begins with a feeling of mercy. And to experience mercy, one has to be humble. So I described once, I remember I went to a class by Satchinandana Swami, and he described this process of prayer. It generally has three elements. The first element is you glorify the object of your devotion. You put it at the highest level possible, which is its true level. With good material conditioning, we don't have sufficient appreciation. So we glorify the object of our devotion. And then, either by the nature of prayer itself, when you glorify someone, it's putting yourself in a subordinate position, or the prayer itself, they talk about your own subordinate and humble position. And then in that consciousness, you feel mercy. Because you feel something so great in yourself and deserving for it. And that is both the heart of a deep, deep sense of prayer. So there's no cosmos, even though he's a perfected soul. He begins by glorifying the devotees. Jaya Shuddhana Sunna Karime Haman Patriyatraya Nitya Prabhu Paramahan. All glories to the listeners of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, first of all, Shri Kaviraj is offering us prayers, and that's the nature of a Vaishnava. Chanada peace and ichena, Torora peace and ishtana, Amanina, Madanena, Kirtaniya Sadhari. The Vaishnava is offering all respects to others. In other words, understand what that third verse of the Shikshastakam, how significant it is, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said you should wear it around your neck. You should wear it around your neck. It's so significant. Because it's cultivating the consciousness to appreciate God. And therefore, what is that consciousness? It's humility. And when you're feeling humility, and you're experiencing mercy, and therefore you're feeling some devotion and love for the bestower of mercy, in that consciousness, Kirtaniya Sadahari, you can always perform devotional service because that is joy. Joy is devotion. So all respects to others, all glories to the listeners of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishnadas Kaviraj is glorifying each and every person on this Sangha. And when you hear that, that Krishnadas Kaviraj is glorifying you, that makes you a better receptacle of mercy for this message of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because you should feel very humble. Please hear. It's directed towards you. The descriptions of the dancing of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the Rath Yatra Festival. His dancing is very enchanting. Please hear of it with great attention. So what is that dancing? That dancing is Nityara Madhurya. It's very sweet. And what is sweet? Sweet is devotion. Sweet is love. That dancing is done with devotion. That dancing is done with prema. In other words, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda and the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are dancing to the tune of prema. They're dancing, the prema becomes the karanam or cause of their activity. And therefore, their activities are an embodiment of love. And therefore, when we see a manifestation of love, whether it's food cooked with love, whether it's a decoration of the deities done with love, whether it's dancing done with love,
whether it's speech or kata done with love, it's extremely enchanting. And if you're attentive to that, then there will be a conduit of that love to your heart. And this is actually the process of bhakti. There will be a conduit of love to your heart. This is how we advance. We advance by observing the manifestations of love in a humble mood. And then the mercy of that love, the conduit of that love, flows to us. And this is how we get bhakti. And Krishna's Kaviraj is instructing us. He's glorifying us for the great act of listening to the character of the life force in immortality. He's chastising humans. But he's also imploring us to hear it with great attention. This will be so much benefit. And this is the process of devotional service. Adadina Mahaprabhu Poya Savadan Ratre Uti Kona Shonge Poya Pratasnan. The next day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his personal associates got up in the park and attentively took their early morning baths. So, got up in the dark means Brahma Muhurta. The time before the sun rises is most auspicious for spiritual life. This is a significant point. I give one seminar that I give to outside people. I try to find topics that will, first of all, when you give lectures to outside people, first they have to be there. You have to market it. You have to express Krishna consciousness or market Krishna consciousness, you know, in your advertisement, your lecture, in a way. And addressing that. So, I gave a lecture in mind and unconsciousness because within philosophy, such as a walking pattern of ideas, we have a very scientific description of how these forms from the sense objects of the consciousness. Hare Krishna? You still there, everybody?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
I believe I dropped when I was talking about the modes of nature. Is that correct?
I don't know, Maharaj.
Maharaj? Yes.
This is Kirti.
Yes.
You were talking about Chapter 14, Bhagavad Gita. You just
okay,
were
thanks.
Starting to speak on that. Yes.
Thank you. By the way, I got your letter because I was traveling and didn't get the answer. Okay, good.
Okay.
Thank you for that encouragement that someone was hearing. So, the 14th chapter, it's so, you know, if you really have a science, it's mystical. It's mystical because people don't understand that science. That's what mysticism means. There are subtle sciences. So the matter, and especially the subtle matter, the chitta, or the mind, it's composed of different strands of matter. And when you come to the platform of goodness, then the nature of matter reveals its purest state. And in that purest state, it's discriminatory, it's very lucid, And it invokes detachment and peacefulness and happiness. These are the qualities of goodness. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Acharya, in the Acharya Leela, as the teacher, and his personal associates, they get up at that time of the day because there's a powerful effect on consciousness. And it invokes the qualities of consciousness that are most suitable for spiritual life. That's what we want. We want lucid, clear. And I always describe the, you know, in that famous verse by Patanjali, yoga chitta vritti nirodha, why do they want to finish the vrittis? What are the vrittis?
basically, mostly the vrittis are passion and ignorance, actually. And you come, when you come to goodness, then the consciousness becomes reflective of the soul. Chaito, darpana, marjana. The chaita, the heart, is actually like a mirror. It's just covered by passion and ignorance. When you get rid of passion and ignorance, then you can see yourself as the soul. And we even experience that. If you get up early in the morning, you know, there's some more sense of the soul. So he's taking his early morning bath. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his personal associates then went to see the ceremony of Pandu Vijaya. During this ceremony, Lord Jagannath leaves his throne and gets up onto the car. And we describe this in terms of that esoteric lila of three logs of wood. I discussed it in terms of who Jagannath is. The Jagannath is Krishna. In all lilas, Jagannath is actually Krishna coming to Vrindavan in separation of the residents of Vrindavan. And it's the ecstatic form of Krishna in a full manifestation of his own experience of love for Srimati Radharani. And he's in its ecstatic symptoms. So when he gets on that chariot, he's feeling separation from Srimati Radharani. In other words, the deities are commemorating a particular pastime. And the pastime is Krishna coming to Vrindavan. So that therefore, he gets on the chariot to come to Vrindavan. So when he's getting on the chariot, he's in a mood of ecstatic separation from Srimati Radharani, and therefore he's intoxicated. So when they carry the huge form of Jagannath by the deities, there are particular servants of Jagannath that have that particular service. They come from the Sabara caste, the original people who took care of Jagannath before King Indrajumna rediscovered him and established the temple. And it's so difficult to have ropes around Jagannath. Jagannath is so huge. And they have these pillows. I was joking with Jaisu Bhadra and Sri Rupa, because their accent is easily as thick as mine. And when I took lunch there, Sri Rupa was there also, that when you speak my accent, you add R's in the wrong place, like Japa, you pronounce Japa, you take away R's in the wrong place, like you pronounce better as better. So here was me trying to pronounce pillows as pillars. Pillows. Anyway, forget it. Anyway, they get the pillows. The pillows are filled with cotton, and Jagannath comes off the throne, and they move him from one pillow to another pillow. And when he goes on the pillow, it's like a plastic bag snapping. But that's actually Jagannath in his ecstatic mood of coming to see Srimati Radharani and coming on the chariot. There's two pastimes. Either it's Kurukshetra with Srimati Radharani in separation from Krishna, taking Krishna back to Vrindavan, or in Brihadbhagavatamrita, it's the sense that's given. And there's actually references to it in other Goswami literature that Krishna actually comes back to Vrindavan. And when Krishna comes back to Vrindavan, he's in a state of ecstasy, and that's Jagannath. That's why it's so wonderful to worship Jagannath, because it's such an intimate manifestation of Krishna. So here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's such a wonderful lila, this Gaur lila. It's the highest ecstasy, because it's Jagannath in separation, or Krishna in separation from Radharani, and it's Radharani or Krishna in the mood of Radharani in separation from Krishna. So you have this intimate Radha Krishna in Puri, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is worshiping Jagannath in that mood of separation. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Krishna, in the mood of Radharani, looks upon Jagannath, he sees the threefold bending form of Shyamasundara. So this is the Gaur Leela is so relishable for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas because it represents the tenth ultimate manifestation of Radha Krishna Leela. They're meeting after separation, how deep that is. And the ecstatic, and because it's understood, the internal is connected to the external. Even materially, the face is the index of the mind. But spiritually, when there's no difference between the body and the soul, the body manifests the internal symptoms of ecstasy. You see that in the Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where in the Mahabhav, in the highest form of ecstasy, you know, his joints become separated from his body and blood becomes oozing from his pores. It's a high state of ecstasy. So this is so wonderful. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, they are going to see this. It's Radharani seeing Krishna and separation from Vrindavan entering the rock. Seeing Prataparudra in person, as well as his entourage, allow Pandu Vijay ceremony to be seen by all the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So King Prataparudra, he's an intimate associate. An intimate associate means what? It means they want to serve. The mood of Vrindavan, the mood of advanced devotees, is they want to serve. And that's why Srila Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhanta was so careful to make that clear, that that's the essence of Braja Bhakti. That the forms should be manifest from the consciousness. The consciousness is service. The form of service is Manjari Bhav, the young gopis. The young gopis who are selfless in service. You have to approach it first from the consciousness. The consciousness is one of pure service. And that's the entrance. And if you don't have that pure service mood, then your meditation on the forms of Radha and Krishna will invoke the consciousness of selfishness, because you'll see it as an ordinary exchange. But if you approach it from the mood of service, you'll see those forms as the embodiment of service, and it will invoke within your heart the mood of service. Such a wonderful thing. So King Prataparudra, he has this mood of service. And so, in that service, he wants Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to see this. Why? To give Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pleasure. When you have a mood of service, you're seeking, you're really carefully seeing how the other person is served. So, Advaita Nittai Ari Shanga Bhakti Gana Duke Mahaprabhu Deke Ishvara Gamana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his prominent devotees, Advaita Acharya, Nityananda Prabhu and others, were very happy to observe how Lord Jagannath began the Rath Yatra. So this is a devotee. They're very happy to see the Supreme Lord. And to see the Supreme Lord in his Leela or pastime. So this is Krishna in his pastimes of going back to Vrindavan. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains to us that the Leela or the pastimes are Krishna and Krishna being served by his devotees. And it invokes within the heart of the devotees the great desire to enter those pastimes to serve Krishna personally. or to see to Krishna's pleasure. Balishta Dayatra Bhana Dena Matta Hati Jagannatha Vijay Kariya Kari Hatta Hati. The very strongly built Dayatas, carriers of Jagannath deity, was powerful as drunken elephants. They manually carried Jagannath from throne to the car. So this is also, the Dayatas, they're from very low caste, but there's no restriction in bhakti, because bhakti is about the mood of service. It's not exactly, when you're in the process of dhyanamarg, you begin that path when you come to the mode of goodness. If you're not in the mode of goodness, you can't begin that path. And therefore, you have to become renounced. Bhakti is a transformative process. Wherever you are, you engage in a devotional service. You transform it. And therefore, it's a universal process. There's no material requirements for the bhakti process, because it is the nature of the soul. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the fourth chapter shloki explains the Abhideya tattva, the science of the means of realizing the absolute truth, which is bhakti. And in describing that science of bhakti, one of the characteristics that comes out of that verse is sarvatra sarvadha. What does sarvatra sarvadha mean? Everywhere, at all times. You can't say that about any other process. Jnana is not everywhere at all times. Jnana means, sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in the Himalayas, celibate, secluded. You can't say that about, well, yoga is the practice of Jnana. You can't say that about yoga. You can't say that about karma. Karma is very much dependent on the place, the time. If you do some karma activity, people will check the time, that it's an auspicious moment. But bhakti is a universal process. What is it? Everywhere? Everywhere at all times. And therefore, you see children engaging in bhakti. Very nice. How children can engage in bhakti, because it's from the heart. So if a child is attracted to the deities, I saw that when we had our little Jagannath festival, how some of the children were just up front and clapping. They're attracted to Jagannath. Even species of life, dog, you know, makes pisada. So there's something special, and therefore, Prabhupada explains the word dayata refers to one who's received the mercy of the Lord. Lord Jagannath has a number of stalwart servants known as dayatas. These servants do not come from very high-class families. They're not from Brahmins, Kshatriyas, or Vaishyas. But because they are engaged in the service of the Lord, they have been elevated to a respected position. Thus they are known as dayatas. The servants of Lord Jagannath take care of the Lord from the day of the Snan Yatra up to the time the Lord is carried from the throne to the Rath Yatra cart. So what is that? The Snan Yatra? And then, I believe, the Snan Yatra, the deity is bathed. Then the deity gets sick. Then he's served fruit juices, medicines. And the people don't see the deities, and then the deity appears at the Rath Yatra. The people are feeling great separation. But for that two-week period, who gets the mercy? The dayatas. Very elevated position of intimate associates, and they're not from very high caste. In fact, it's explained here, these servants in the Kshetra Mahatma, these dayatas, are said to come from the Savaras, a caste that keeps and sells pigs. That's not a very high caste. However, among the dayatas are also many who come from the Brahmin caste. Those dayatas coming from the Brahmin families are called dayatapatis, or the leaders of the dayatas. The dayatapatis offer food such as sweetmeats to Lord Jagannath during the Anavasara, the resting period after Snanyatra. They also make the early morning offering of sweetmeats daily. It is said that during the Anavasara, Lord Jagannath suffers from fever, and that the dayatapatis offer an infusion of drugs represented by fruit juice. It is said that in the beginning, Lord Jagannath was worshipped by the Sabaras and was known as the deity Ila Madhava. Later, when the deity was established in the temple, the Lord became known as Jagannath. Because the deities were taken from the Sabaras, all the Sabara devotees were elevated to the position of deity. So in the history of Lord Jagannath, somehow this eternal deity somehow was in the care of this particular caste before Indradyumna Swami established the deity. And because of their devotion, they were elevated to a very high position. Bhakti is very, in one sense, it's simple. It changes one's identity to servant of Krishna by becoming the servant of Guru. And that reorients his whole consciousness. Where in other processes, you very much have to first work very diligently, internally, with controlling the mind by a process of vairagya renunciation. That's basically what other spiritual paths are. You have to sit, you have to meditate, and you have to subdue the mind. Bhakti works by changing your self-conception to serving. And when you change your consciousness to serving, then you just look at things differently. And therefore, even if you're by nature in a particular mode, you adopt the service according to your nature. And therefore you become purified. And these other processes of yoga and jnana are rejected in Bhagavad Gita. They're very, very difficult. Because even if you subdue the mind, the nature of karma is one thing that brings up the one thing that activates the samskaras, and there's samskaras, mental imprints, there's vrittis, when those mental imprints come to the platform of thoughts. So even if you become externally renounced, by your karma, one of those mental imprints can be activated. And therefore you work so hard, and then one small thing can activate one of those mental imprints. That's the story of Vishwamrita Muni, who was meditating for 60,000 years. And he was at the stage of pratyahara, which means he could prevent sensual stimulation from coming into the consciousness. He's very expert, but what happened is when he heard the ankle bells of the prostitute Menaka, somehow or other, it just activated one of the samskaras, your sex life. It's a very difficult process. But Bhakti says, if you have sex life, then you dharmo varuta bhuteshu kamo sivartarshava. Then you have children to become devotees. And in that way, you purify yourself. You really can't take the jnana, and you can't take the jnana or yoga in the real sense until you're free from the karma samskara. in the other processes, you first have to go through karma and then take a transcendental process. The process of bhakti, the transcendental process begins immediately. You don't have to wait. In other processes, you have to go through you have to purify yourself of your karma samskaras. Bhakti transforms your karma samskara. Okay, you have attachment to the opposite sex, you get married, but you do it in a way that the goal is for that family to serve God, the children to be Krishna conscious. And therefore, one can be a transcendentalist even in the Grihastha ashram. And therefore, Prabhupada would call it Grihastha Brahmachari sometimes. If Grihasthas were on the highest stage of detachment, which means that sex life was restricted just to producing Krishna-conscious children. And then, so, anyway, we'll read one more verse. While carrying the deity of Lord Jagannath, some of the deities took hold of the shoulders of the Lord, and some caught his lotus feet. So their deities, they may be in lower caste, but what do they feel when they grab the lotus feet of Jagannath? What is their platform of yoga? They're completely absorbed. This is why kirtan is so amazing. Because kirtan, I explained this before, it takes the natural samskaras to music. Musical samskaras are so powerful because, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they're very much connected with the very nature of the soul. The soul is kind of melodious. You have these samskaras to music, and you become absorbed in music. And then there's mantras in the music. And then what happens is, if someone who normally could not achieve a level of samadhi becomes absorbed for 7 hours in kirtan. Completely. It's a very high stage of meditation. But in the yoga process, that same person cannot sit down and meditate. And he's not even advised to. He's just advised to do his karma. And that's why Prabhupada criticized when they have these meditational processes. And then you go out and what he would criticize is meditational processes without yam and niyam. Because that's not even proper Ashtanga yoga. Because proper Ashtanga yoga, it's yam niyam. When people brought yoga to the West, they looked at the people and said, they can't perform yam and niyam. Let me start with this asana. And you see that. I know a friend of mine, people tell me to be very careful of mentioning names sometimes, but a friend of mine is developing some yoga studio, and he's trying to train teachers. But people are adamant on not being vegetarians. How can it be transcendental? I can't, for that basis is not there. But anyway, tried to bring something. Okay, would anybody like to say Hare Krishna? It's very, very difficult for me to give a phone lecture if I don't see you. But I know that you may not even be hearing me. You don't know how much more difficult it would be. But at least I have one person before me that I can speak to. Anyone like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that?
Gordon and McKinsey.
Gordon?
Yes.
Hare Krishna. Were you able to hear me?
I was able to hear you each time you came on and off, but I last 28 minutes heard you last.
I couldn't hear you, so maybe you could hear me. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Who's that?
Rati
Krishna. Hey, Rati?
Yeah.
Are you able to hear me?
I've been able to hear you pretty well for the most part.
But it's definitely not me because I can't hear you now. Okay, Recky, I'm hanging up and I'm going to give you a call, okay? Okay. Okay. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna.